Good evening, everybody. Welcome. Is there anybody here for the first time tonight? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, bless God. Who of you were here last week? Where were the rest of you? Now, last week I started on a series that I'm going to be speaking on now. Let's just call it Understanding Curses. Why would we want to talk about stuff like that in the church if the messages are supposed to be uplifting and a blessing, etc., etc.? Because the fact is, the reality is, there's a lot of people sitting in the church whose lives are cursed. And the fact that you're sitting in the church doesn't remove the curse. The fact that you recognize it, you deal with it, you confront it, and you conquer it in Jesus' name, that is going to lead you to the blessing. Okay? I would like to actually just do a demonstration. I did it last week, but I don't think we did it while we were filming. So I am going to do it to show you quickly. What can I use? I need something. I'm going to use this. I need a victim. Ach, sorry. I need a volunteer. Jaden, you're in trouble. I know your name. Come and volunteer here for us, please. There we go. Well done. Ach, Jaden, smile. Listen, yeah. You're on camera. Now you got to smile. Okay. I shouldn't have said that. I should just keep quiet. Okay. Everybody, this is Jaden. And Jaden, this is everybody. Now I want to show you something. I want to show you something very interesting. How many of you believe that it is the heart of God to bless you? It is the God. Do you think God wants to bless you? Okay, even Jaden thinks God wants to bless him. God wants to bless us all. Amen? The Bible says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope, and to give you a future. That refers to God's heart for all of us. I often say to people, God is a father. You know, I'm a father and I want the best for my kids. Some of you, yeah, you fathers and mothers, you want the best for your children. And God is the same. He wants the best for us. Now, how will a curse impact a person's life? Very destructively, very negatively. I want to show you something. A lot of people have this thing that, you know what, because I'm a child of God, there can't be curses, there can't be this, that, because God's got to bless me, etc., etc. But they don't understand how this stuff works. And I want to give you a small little demonstration. He's going to help me with it. Does God want to bless everybody? Does that mean God wants to bless your mother-in-law? Of course he does. Yeah, yeah. And your son-in-law, the one that you can't handle, the one that you don't like. God wants to bless him. Yes. The drug dealer there on the corner, God wants to bless him. The Satanist that sits in the cemetery making nonsense all night, God wants to bless her. Now the thing is, the Bible says God gives sunshine to the good and the bad. Do you hear that? To the good and the bad. And God gives rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. Which is just God's way of telling us that if you are a child of God, God's heart is to bless you. Now, that means that the blessing of God is available to everybody. Am I right? You know, there's some drug lords, yeah. There's some crime kingpins, yeah. There's some really bad people in this area. The car that they drive, did the devil give it to them? Well, the Bible says the devil is a thief. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's going to give nothing to nobody. Whatever they have, God still gave it to them. Because God is the source of blessing. Satan is the source of destruction. Okay? Now, therefore, Jaden, if we say that this is the blessing of God, should this be available to you? Must be available to him. All right, so if this is the blessing of God, we all agree that this has to be available to him. So, now there has to be a whole bunch of them. Let's do it this way. If this is the blessing of God, take it. Was that difficult? It wasn't difficult. Because it has to be available to him, it can't be way over there. It has to be available to him, right? Now, you saw that it wasn't difficult for him to take it. It was in fact very, very easy. Now, with one small change, you're going to see how difficult it becomes. Jaden, close your eyes. You're not allowed to open your eyes. You're not allowed to peep. You're not allowed to look. Take the blessing. Stop. Look. There's the blessing. Take it. There we go. Give him a big hand. Now, what did I just show you? The blessing was available to him at all times. A problem in his life caused him not to see the blessing. The curse upon his life did not remove the blessing of God. It made it difficult or impossible for him to receive the blessing that was right there. And it's important for you to understand that if somebody is under a curse, it does not refer to the absence of God's blessing upon their life. It refers to their inability to receive the blessing of God for their life. God's blessing is never removed from anybody. God is the one that says He will take care of us. God is the one that says He will provide for us. And His word says He provides for all kinds, all types. Now, God can't go against His word, can He? Because the Bible also says God is not a man that He should lie. So the provision is there. The provision for healing, the provision for prosperity, the provision for love, the provision for life. It's all around us. But some people have an inability to either see it or to receive it. And what I was showing you is when he could see it and take it, it's like he's blessed. When he couldn't see it, but it was available and he was going around like this, he was under the curse. A lot of people say that curses don't affect believers. That is hogwash. That is rubbish. That is nonsense. Curses affect anybody that has opened themselves up to be in that condition. And certain things will put us in that condition. So we're going to be looking at a couple of the things that can put you in that condition. To have the blessing of God available, but not able to grasp it and make it your own. I want to share a story. I've shared it on a number of occasions because it is very powerful and it helps you to understand how these things work. Many years ago, a very dear old lady, who I believe has passed away since, phoned me. One of the local newspapers did a story on Satanism and they came to interview me about what's going on, etc., etc. And based on what I shared in the newspaper article, this woman then phoned the newspaper office and asked them to please get my cell phone number because she had a big problem and she needed somebody to help. They couldn't give it to her, so they phoned me and asked, would I mind if they allow this woman to have my details because she would like to contact me? And of course I said yes, especially when I heard what was going on in her life. This was her story. She was tormented by an evil spirit. And if I say tormented by an evil spirit, she was really badly tormented by an evil spirit. She had this demon that messed with her. She couldn't sleep many nights because this thing would pull the pillow out from under her head. At night while she was sleeping, the duvet would be pulled off. She would wake up and then she would be thrown with objects that would come out of her cupboard. The cupboard doors would open and things would just come flying out and these things would hit her. Now you can understand if you're sleeping and a size 7 shoe hits you on the side of the head, that's not the best way to wake up. And then you are awake because now you know that there's weird supernatural things going on. It wasn't just that. Many, many things would just go wrong. Everything in her life was going wrong. She had a lot of physical ailments in her body. Her health was really, really bad. She didn't have a good life. I spoke to her on the phone and I agreed to go and see her at her house. I went to see her and I questioned her about her life and about how long this stuff has been around. And she told me that there are two spirits in her life. Now that's very important. She knew the names of the spirits. And I asked her, how do you know the names of these spirits? She told me sometimes when she's writing a letter, the spirits would start writing through her. So she was trying to write a letter to somebody and then her hand would get a mind of its own and it'll begin to write. And when she looks, it's like there's a message. And so these two spirits began to communicate with her. both spirits. There was a male spirit and there was a female spirit. And she said over the years she has understood that it is the female spirit that messes with her. It is the female spirit that throws her with things and sometimes it burns her and all sorts of bad things happen. But the male spirit is her guardian angel. I say, how do you know that? No, because he told her, he wrote it to her. And he's the one that protects her from the evil spirit. Now I'm sitting there and I'm listening to all of this and I'm thinking to myself, man, this woman is very deceived. But now you also have to be very careful how you speak to them about this, because she is convinced that the spirit is there to help her. I started talking to her and I explained to her a little bit about how this stuff works, and she was very happy that we must pray against this female spirit, which she called Lucille. She was very happy that Lucille must go. So I proceeded to pray for her. And the spirit called Lucille manifested. The house went mad. Doors were going up, open and closed, and things were, you know, there was like all sorts of knocking noises and sounds and whatever. And eventually something happened to this woman, because the spirit wasn't possessing the house. The spirit was actually possessing the person, the woman. And the spirit left. Now, after the spirit left, she felt very different. She told me that she feels so much lighter, she feels better. Some of the aches and pains that she had in her body are just supernaturally gone. She could move better. She actually shuffled around the house. Just interesting. What prompted her to phone me? She said she was standing at the kitchen table. Her kitchen table had a glass top. And it was quite a thick glass top. You know, kitchen tables, they normally put like a very thick glass there, because it could break. And she says she was standing there and this thought came to her mind. I wonder what it would look like if this kitchen table just shattered. And the moment she had the thought, the kitchen table shattered into a million pieces. She says when she saw that and when that happened, she freaked out. She actually wouldn't go back into the house. She ran out of the house and her son had to take her somewhere else. And then she read the article in the newspaper. She contacted me and she asked for help. So now we've gotten rid of the one spirit which she believed to be the source of all of her problems. But now I had the difficult task of talking to her about her guardian angel, which she firmly believed was looking out for her best interests, but which I was 100% convinced does not come from God. Because I want to tell you something, angels don't write through your pen and have communication with you, because I don't believe God will allow that. Amen? Which means that this is part of another realm. It's also a spirit, but it's definitely not angelic. So I began to talk to her about this, and she got angry. Because how dare I insinuate that the spirit that has been looking after her for all of these years is bad? You know, God is my witness. I went this way and that way and, you know, trying to reason with her. And it was very, very difficult. I can't remember how long it took. Eventually I said to her, ma'am, can we do it this way? A spirit that comes from God doesn't have to listen to me. They listen to God. The Bible says the angels of God obey Him. They don't obey me. How's about we pray and we ask God to show whether this is from Him or not? Because if it's not from Him and I have authority, it has to obey my authority. If it is of God, it doesn't have to obey my authority. It will obey God's authority. So we have to do a test. Okay, so she reluctantly agreed that we can do this test. I took her hands, I started praying with her, and I said, Lord, you know that there is the spirit here that claims to be her guardian angel. And if it be her guardian angel, then so be it. Then, Lord, you will show. But if not, then I ask you to intervene and reveal to us in a way that it'll make sense to this lady that this thing is not of you. And I began to pray against the spirit. Almost immediately, something began to happen. I've only seen this happen once in my life, and I trust God I don't have to see it ever again. It looked like a ball of fire came between me and this woman. You could actually see it and you could feel it. It burned. And this woman began to feel how the spirit that I was praying against started tormenting her body. She shouted at me, "Please stop, please stop." And I said to her, "Ma'am, right now I can't stop because what I see here shows me this is not of God, because God has got no reason to try and do this type of nonsense, and God has got no reason to punish your body through prayer." I said, "We have to finish this." And you know what? You could literally see how the spirit inside of this woman was doing whatever it could to make me stop praying by hurting her. And I just asked God to intervene, and I asked God to help, because obviously this thing has to go. But it also had the desired effect, because the woman began to realize that something that is supposed to be protecting her is definitely not going to be hurting her. She always believed that it was the female spirit that hurt her. Now she could feel it was actually the male spirit as well. To make a long story short, this ball of fire that was between me and this woman got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I could feel the heat that this thing was giving off. It was very, very uncomfortable. And the next moment, it felt, it actually, even in the house, it sounded like glass shattered. There was a huge noise, like a crash. And you could feel it reverberate through the entire house. The moment that happened, that thing that was between me and this woman flew out of the room that we were in. I had a friend of mine there that came with for prayer support, and he found himself standing in the doorway. And whatever that was, when it left with so much force that it sent him flying. There was a steel gate that was closed. The steel gate was thrown open that you could actually see the impression of it on the wall. That's how hard it hit the wall. And then it was gone. You know, for the first time in something like 40 years, actually I think it was more, was almost 60 years, I'd say 50 years. For the first time in 50 years, she slept through. And the following night she slept through. And the following night she slept through. A lot of the pains that she had, that she lived with every single day, immediately disappeared. If I remember correctly, her hands were weak and they started to deform, which one would believe to be arthritis. Thing is, after this thing left, something in her changed. She had more strength. Things that she couldn't hold before, suddenly she could hold. She battled severely with her memory. After the things left, the memory was suddenly sharper, better. All I'm trying to say to you is, there was a massive change in the environment that she lived in, and also in her as a person. Now, here's the thing. This poor lady had been living under a curse for between 40 and 50 years of her life. Now, Proverbs chapter 26 verse 2 says the following. A curse without a cause shall not come to light. I believe the New International Version puts it this way. It says, a curse without a cause shall not come. It doesn't say a curse shall not come like some people believe. It says a curse without a cause shall not come. Now, it stands to reason that if a curse without a cause cannot come, then a curse with a cause will come. Does that make sense? In other words, if I have somehow given place, it will land upon me. It will sit upon me. But if I haven't given it place, it has to go. So then, there has to be a cause. Why was this woman under this curse for such a long period of time? This is her story. When she was a young lady, she just got married and she was living in Durban. She and her husband moved to Durban. They moved into a block of flats. She didn't know anybody there. And so one morning, there was a knock on the door, and it was a lady that came and introduced herself and said that she's so-and-so, and that there's a whole bunch of women that all live in this flat, and they would like to invite her to come and have tea with them, which was a very nice thing to do because they were introducing themselves. Thing is, when she went to this tea party, she quickly realized that this was going to be a tea party with a difference. Because the woman that invited her was some kind of a clairvoyant or a psychic or whatever you want to call it. And as the conversation went, it came out that they were going to have a seance that morning. They were going to communicate with spirits. And she said to me that she felt very uneasy, but she sort of didn't have the heart to tell them that I'm not really into the stuff. She rather just kept quiet and like waited to see what was going to happen. And so that morning, this woman sat there and she channeled a whole bunch of spirits that spoke to the people, and everybody was all chuffed and happy that they were now talking to, whether it be a departed loved one or whatever. And she says she couldn't get out of that place quick enough. She went back to her apartment. Problem is, when she got to her apartment, she went into the apartment, she closed the door, she put the kettle on for a cup of tea. As she was standing in the kitchen, the cupboard door flew open and teacups began to fly out the door. Of course, she had a big fright. She went and she closed the cupboard door. Another cupboard door opened and plates began to fly out. She freaked out. She didn't know what to do. She asked help from this place and from that place and from that. Nobody could help her. Eventually, she accepted that this would just be part of her life. Later on, she assigned this behavior to the Lucille spirit, which she couldn't get rid of. Now, it started happening that day. It just got worse and worse and worse as her life progressed. Now, one of the first things that I checked, and this I have to state very clearly. Some people will have the attitude that, you know what, this woman was clearly not a believer and that is why she was afflicted. Now, when I met this lady and when I had my first interview with her, the first thing that I checked is whether she actually knew God or not, whether she had a relationship with Jesus Christ or not. Now, this might be a bit difficult for some people to understand, but the fact is, this poor woman, not only was she saved, but she really tried very hard to live a good, clean, and righteous life. Let me put it to you this way. If you had the kind of problems that this woman had, wouldn't you want to be close to God? Because even though she hadn't really found help yet, she understood the only one that can really help her is God. She had been a believer for many years, and she desperately desired to be delivered, but her situation never changed. Now, I asked her what church she attends. I'm not going to mention the name of the church. Doesn't matter. She had been attending the same church for the last 30 years. She'd been living in the south of Joburg for 30 years. She had the same pastor for the last 30 years. And I said to her, didn't you talk to your pastor about this? Didn't he come and pray for you? She said, my pastor, when I told my pastor what was happening, he told me there is no such thing and he wouldn't discuss it with me further. And you know, I was shocked to hear that. Because how can you say there is no such thing? Even in the Bible, it's very plain that there are such things as demons and evil spirits and what. And we are commanded as believers to deal with it. Based on her pastor's advice, eventually she also came to the point that she believed that a lot of this was in her head. But none of it was in her head. These things were real. And these things were truly happening. The problem wasn't that God refused to help her, that God wouldn't help her. The problem was that she had a lack of knowledge. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And unfortunately, the church that she attended, who should have given her the knowledge, refused to acknowledge that this problem can exist. Hosea 4 verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Here's the thing about a curse. A curse is not just going to dissolve by itself. Something is going to have to happen to challenge it or confront it and deal with it, and that will make it go away. But it's not just going to disappear by itself. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19, God speaking, and he says the following. He says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Now, friends, this is God speaking. And God says, as you sit here today, all of you have the same choice. God puts before all of us life or death, blessing or curse. And then he says, you have to choose. Unfortunately, a lot of people, and yes, even through ignorance, make the wrong choices. If you make a choice that will lead to the curse, God is not going to stop it because he told you the choice is yours. It was this lady's choice to be part of that seance. The moment she saw what they were going to do, she knew this was wrong. She knew she didn't want to be there. But because she was more afraid of upsetting the people than doing what she believed in her heart was right, she also made a choice that would lead to a curse. And unfortunately, this has happened many, many times in a lot of believers' lives. They were in a place where they were exposed to something that sometimes we even know this is wrong, but we think, oh, well, you know what? What's the worst that can happen? Well, you might end up like this woman. And for 40 years of your life goes nowhere. And you have problem upon problem upon problem. God made one thing very, very clear to the Israelites. Even though they were God's chosen people, and therefore one would perceive that they should be blessed in everything that they do, he says it was not only the blessing that was available to them. Even though I called you by your name, if you make the wrong choices, the curse is waiting for you. Making the wrong choices or making the wrong decisions in life will most definitely mess up your life and could even mess up your descendants' life. Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 26 to 27 says, see, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. The curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and if you turn from what I have commanded you today to follow after other gods. And I want to tell you something, Old Testament, New Testament, it doesn't matter. This word still rings true. You mess with the wrong things, you call the curse to come. The main criteria in this scripture, Deuteronomy 11, for God's blessing is quite simple. Obey me and I will bless you. Concerning the curse, there are two things that God reveals to us that is going to bring you to a place of curse. It says, number one, disobedience. Number two, false gods. You hear that? Number one, disobedience. Number two, running after false gods. So, let's look at Exodus 20, verse 3 to 5. God speaking to the Israelites, and he says this. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything, in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, and I punish the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. There are two sins pertaining to false gods that will curse your life. I want to say something about the scripture. You shall not make for yourself idols. What is an idol? An idol is something that people pray to. Okay? It is something that people set up to be a god. Now, there's a lot of Christians that have this thing. They can bring these things into their house because they are not praying to them. Is that right? Let me burst your bubble. You can't serve God and have a Buddha proudly displayed on the mantelpiece. Okay? You can't serve God and have some weird statue that some obscure tribe in the rainforest views as their God just so that you can have a conversation starter when people come into your house. False gods are false gods, and God curses them. Now, if the false god is cursed and you bring the statue of the false god into your house, you're bringing the same curse into your house. Many years ago, when God just started using me along these lines, I got a phone call from a friend of my father's. He had heard that I'd been praying for people and some strange things started happening and, you know, demons were manifesting and, you know, all of that stuff. And he asked if I could come and see him. Me and my father went there. And when we got there, he told us a very strange story. He said since he'd moved into this house, it was a new house. Not new, but I mean, he bought it recently. Since he'd moved into this house, really, really strange things had been happening. And a number of people had seen an apparition in the house. And it had put a lot of fear in them. His children refused to go down into the lower area of the house, which is where mainly this thing had been seen. And strange music would sometimes come from down there, like drums. Yet there were no drums. Now this was freaking out everybody. And he told me that he never believed in the stuff. To him, his children were just making up stories, and, you know, the maid was just making up stories, and his wife was complaining for nothing. Until one day he was standing in the corridor, and when he turned around, there was a figure of a man standing there, and it freaked him out because he knew he was the only one in the house. And when he did this and he looked again, it was gone. He says he never moved so fast in his entire life. He was gone. He says, but then he knew that what they were talking about was true. And then he also shared with me that since they'd been moved into this house, everybody was sick. It's like everybody was, you know what, we all get flus. We all now and then go through a cold or a something. He says, but the way things were happening in this house, nobody was well. Everybody had weird ailments and problems and what. And it's like something is not right there. Okay. I said to him, let's go down into the basement area, which was the entertainment area in the house. The pub was there, and there was a snooker table, and, you know, it was where they used to have some family time together. We get down there, and I had a look, and I couldn't see anything. And then I sort of walked. There was a pillar. And as I came walking around the pillar, I looked into this, I don't even know what to call it. It was some kind of a mask. But it was a horrible looking thing. Based just on its looks, I wouldn't bring it into my own house. But it wasn't just that. When I looked at it, my whole body reacted. It felt like everything in me turned upside down. And I had this like really horrible reaction to what I was seeing. And I said to him, this is the cause of the problems in your house. Now, funny enough, if I remember correctly, that was left by the previous owner. That wasn't his. When they moved in, it was there, and he thought, oh, that's very cute. You know, he left it there. But the curse stayed there. And you know, when we researched that, it actually came from one of these islands in, I don't know if it's the Pacific or whatever. And it was actually an image of one of the gods that they prayed to in that place. And this was not a copy. This was an authentic. It had come from there. This wasn't something made in South Africa. This was something that came from there. It was made of wood. So I said to the guy, said to me, so what must I do? What must I do? I said to him, well, you know what? The Bible says we must burn these things. So burn it. No problem. He's going to burn it tonight. Next morning, 6 o'clock, my phone rings. It's him. He says, sorry to bother you so early, but I have a problem. I said, what's the problem? He says, that thing won't burn. I said, what are you talking about? He says, I tried everything I can. I made a fire. I put it in the fire. The fire burnt out. The thing was lying there. It wasn't even black. He says, then he decided he was going to take gasoline. He was going to make another fire, but he was going to put a lot of gasoline on it. He did it. Everything burnt out. The thing was lying there. He says, after 2 hours of trying to burn this thing, it hadn't even gone black. It was like it was lying there laughing at him. Nothing was happening to this thing. He said, I don't know what to do. I said, you know what? The only thing I can think of, take an axe, chop it to pieces and try and burn it again. He phoned me 5 minutes later. He said he chopped it to pieces. It started burning immediately. The same thing that last night wouldn't burn. What was it? It was a cursed object that he brought into his house because it was an idol that people prayed to and worshipped. Okay. Exodus 20 talks about not having other gods before God, etc., etc. Now, there are two sins pertaining to false gods that the Bible says are going to curse your life. We are not even to acknowledge other false gods. The Bible makes it clear there is only one God. Whatever else comes is a fake. There's only one God. To acknowledge any other God, either before or besides the only one true God, because biblically there is only one true God. Isaiah 45:21 says, there is no God else besides me. A just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. You know, there's a lot of religions that believe that they serve this God and that God and that God. There is only one God. There are a lot of demons. There are a lot of evil spirits. There is a lot of rubbish in this world. But there is only one God. Making an idol or a false God and worshiping them will curse your life. So either acknowledging them or worshiping them in God's eyes is wrong. Now, I want you to notice that God's judgment upon man for doing these things will bring a curse upon your life. And according to Exodus 20, it doesn't have to last one generation. It can last for plenty generations. If we come from a background where we have in any way worshipped false gods, we are going to have a lot of problems because a curse is already upon your life. Sometimes we have people coming to these meetings. And then when I listen to their stories, I have to ask the question. If I hear the extent of the problems in their life, I normally ask one of two questions. Have you ever messed with witchcraft or the occult? Or were you ever involved in worshipping false gods? 9 times out of 10, they've done one of the two. And many times they have been involved in other religions where, according to the word of God, they worshipped false gods. And then we have to take them in a prayer of renunciation, to renounce the false gods. And you know what happens many, many times when I lead people in a prayer to renounce these things? Now they're already worshipping God. They profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The moment they begin to try and pray that prayer, their lips clamp shut. What is with them will not allow them to speak. Then we have to go through a bit of a war to fight against whatever it is that is controlling them at that point in time to get them to renounce it. Sometimes even before we get to the point that we get them to start renouncing it, when the spirit with them knows we're going to take them through that process, there will already be a hell of a big manifestation. What does that show you? When you mess with false gods, the curse comes upon you. Let's talk about the occult. The occult falls in this category that we're talking about now. You see, the thing is, there is only two sources of supernatural power in this world. Who can tell me who they are? It's simple. God can do supernatural things, and Satan can do supernatural things. Now, Satan might come in many different guises. Some might call it Reiki, some might call it... Reiki, spiritism, necromancy, fortune-telling, there's a whole bunch of stuff. But in the end, the source comes from one place. It comes from Satan. Here's the thing with man. Man generally craves knowledge, and man generally craves power. Now, there is human knowledge, and there is human power, but some people are not satisfied with what they can get from the natural. And then because they want more, they eventually end up going down the path of the supernatural because they obviously want more. Now, if it comes from the supernatural and you clap your fingers to get it, it's not coming from God. It's coming from the enemy. Not all supernatural power or revelation comes from God, and therefore what does not come from God must come from Satan. Let's look at God versus Satan. God is the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the provider. He's our source of all wisdom. Now, does Satan do some of these things as well? He can't necessarily do that. But Satan can give knowledge, which some people will perceive to be wisdom. Remember, the Bible does say of Satan that he's perfect in wisdom and in beauty. Everything that has ever happened on this earth, he is aware of. You want information, he can give you information very, very quickly. Can the devil heal? I'll tell you what does happen. Because people often argue this point. You know, none of us can argue the fact that when people go to the occult world, some people do have the symptom of having been healed. How does that work? If the devil can't heal, how is it that this and this and this symptom went away? I'll explain it to you, my understanding thereof. We know, even from a biblical perspective, that a lot of ailments, a lot of problems, a lot of sicknesses have a demonic root or a demonic origin, right? You've been here many times in these meetings when we pray for people who have a physical ailment, and then a demon manifests. And after the demon is gone, the person has got no more problem. So the problem was never a physical ailment. The problem was a spiritual ailment, okay? Now, when you go to a witch doctor or somebody that works with occultic power, there is a spirit inside of them. Let's call it a familiar spirit. The familiar spirit will know what is wrong with the person coming there. Because if whatever is wrong with me is caused by a demon, then the demon in the faith healer will communicate with the demon in me and know exactly what my problem is. And this all happens behind the scenes, and it happens like that. So then the knowledge is going to come forward. You have this and this and this and this, and it is because of that and that and that and that, and you have to do this and this and this and this, and it'll stop. Now you see, if nothing ever changes, people won't go to the occult world for help. So this is what happens. The spirit in the faith healer will communicate to the spirits giving you a hard time. Listen here, this oak has paid a fortune. He's expecting change. You can't do that anymore. But there's a lot of other things you can do. Start doing them. So you walk out of there, it's like, I've done this and this and this. I feel better. But man, I'm not sleeping at night, and I've got a horrible ingrowing toenail now, and like I've got piles like you can't believe. And so the fact of the matter is, the enemy doesn't heal; he just substitutes. He takes one ailment and turns it into two new ones. But you feel good because that first ailment is gone. Then you got to go back because now you got two others and that has to be dealt with. And so guess what? Probably one of the other two is going to go away, but three new ones are going to start somewhere down the line. And so people become hooked and dependent on the occult world. And it begins to control and destroy their life. If we go to Satan through the occult for any of these things, be it healing, deliverance, provision, wisdom, etc., etc., then we are putting Satan in God's place. Who's the healer? God is. If you go to Satan for healing, who are you putting him in place of? In place of God. Okay? You're putting him in God's place. If you put him in God's place, you acknowledge him as your God. What does God say? He says, there is no other God before me. What does he say will happen if you put other gods before him? He says, you will curse and so will be your family. And then according to Exodus 20, now you have placed yourself under a curse. The word occult, who can tell me what does the word occult really mean? Say again? No. Yes. The word occult literally means that which is hidden. So what are we talking about? We're talking about what happens in darkness. It's hidden in darkness. You go mess with it, you're going to have problems. Most people mess with the occult, but they have no idea what's hidden just beneath the surface. The occult has three main branches: witchcraft, divination, and sorcery. Okay? Let's look at the first one, witchcraft. How much time have I got left? Let's see. Let's talk about witchcraft. At the root of all witchcraft, you will find a rebellious nature. Okay? A rebellious nature. 1 Samuel chapter 1, 15, verse 23 says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." Listen carefully. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." When we practice witchcraft, what are we really doing? We are rebelling against God. The two are sisters. So, through witchcraft, man rebels against God and tries to do things in his or her own way outside of the will of God. Okay, I've been praying now for the last 3 or 4 years for God to give me a husband or to give me a wife. Nothing is happening, so God needs some help. I'm going to go and see Madam Love. She's going to cruise in that crystal ball. She's going to speak a couple of magic words. And lo and behold, my soulmate is going to come waltzing into my life. And it's probably going to happen. But now, who does Madam Love represent? Does God speak through crystal balls? Does God need a crystal ball to know what's going to happen in your future? No, he doesn't. So guess where your soulmate is coming from? He's not coming from up there. It's coming from down there. Now here's the thing. The devil has a lot of psychopaths, a lot of alcoholics, a lot of drug addicts, a lot of people with really weird personality disorders, anger problems, rage, etc., etc., that's looking for a wife. And he's thinking to himself, that one will be perfect for that one. And then you end up with somebody that you just can't live with. But then you also get hooked and you can't get rid of. And a lot of lives have been destroyed that way. Oh, I'm praying for God to help me. I need to make a decision. I need to know what to do. Oh, God is not answering me. Oh, we go and see the person with a crystal ball. Or we go to the person that throws the bones and tells us what's happening, etc., etc. God needs help. No, God doesn't need help. And sometimes if God is quiet today, it's because today you don't need the answer. You still need to pray a bit, you still need to fast a bit, it's not the right moment. Everything happens in seasons. And God still wants to see some faith as well. The thing with us is we want everything yesterday. God says it'll be fine if you wait until tomorrow. Oh, no, God, you don't understand. I can't wait until tomorrow. So I'm going to go and see so-and-so. They're going to help me out. No, you're putting them in God's place. Don't. There are three words that adequately sum up the working of witchcraft. Control, intimidation, manipulation. Witchcraft always seeks to control something. Witchcraft wants to control the boss because the boss must give more money. Hello? Witchcraft seeks to control the woman because the woman doesn't love enough. Or she hasn't even seen me yet, so I need to control her eyes. It must be on me all the time. Do you understand? Witchcraft isn't only confined to weird cults or things such as Satanism. And this is something that a lot of people find difficult to understand. Whenever people try to use any kind of a tactic, even if it is verbal, to control you, witchcraft is at work. Now, this is important. Because I want to tell you something. There's a lot of Christians that, even though they might not realize it, they mess with witchcraft as well because they try and use their personalities to control other people. Your place is not to control people. If you try and intimidate people, if you try and manipulate people, I want to tell you something. The demon of manipulation loves to go to church. It loves to go to church. Because the church is full of people with a manipulative personality. You can't manipulate people to get what you want. That's exactly what the devil does. That's what witchcraft does. We do this and this and this, and we're going to change that person's mind, and this person's going to give more money, and you know, whatever the case might be, it's manipulation. Now, witchcraft is mentioned in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 20, as a work of the flesh. How does that work? I mean, how is witchcraft a work of the flesh? Because the flesh can manipulate through their personality, through temper tantrums, etc., etc. Do you see where I'm going? I can use my personality or my body or my voice or my fists or whatever the case is to threaten, to intimidate, to control. What is that? That's witchcraft. Even though it starts off as a work of the flesh, it is still a control, and therefore it is witchcraft. And God doesn't want that in your life. It is that desire that people have to be in control. And some people, I've met a couple of them in my life. They are control freaks in this world. They have to have it their way. And if they don't get it their way, there's going to be hell to pay. But they sit in church every Sunday. Now, how does that work? It's time to call a spade a spade. You can't have that kind of personality. You can't try and exert that kind of influence over everybody in your life. Because that level of control is nothing other than witchcraft. I know you would never go to some witch doctor and let them throw the bones and get mooty and do this and that and what. But in the end, if you look at what you're doing, it's along the same lines. The more you yield to this kind of thing in your life, the more you open yourself up to a spirit of witchcraft. And the thing is, once the spirit of witchcraft grabs a hold of you, then you really, really become a control freak. So ultimately, you end up going down a path that leads to the dark side, which will ultimately possibly take you to the place of spells, incantations, and all sorts of nonsense. Now, witchcraft is the power branch of the occult. And I can give you some examples. Acupuncture, astral projection, mind control, Satanism, Reiki, ESP, etc., etc. It's where the power of the occult world is displayed. And then we have divination. Divination is the knowledge branch of the occult. It offers many different forms of knowledge that cannot necessarily be obtained through pure natural means. In its simplest form, it could be something such as fortune telling. It is also any kind of a false religion that grants revelations that come from a supernatural source but that does not acknowledge God. You get something called the spiritualist church. One or two people here I know have been involved in that, and we had to pray for them. When you go to the spiritualist church, it is a church, but with a difference. Because there is communication with spirits. There is seances, etc., etc. There is a lot of communication. There's a lot of direction given. In your life, you have to do this and that and that and what. But where is the source? It's not God. It's Satan. And it brings a lot of destruction. I think it was about the 60s, somewhere around there, there was a man by the name of Edgar Cayce. Has anybody ever heard of Edgar Cayce in this place? Okay, it was probably before all of your time. Now, Edgar Cayce was like a medium. He would channel spirits through him. And when people went to see him, he would sit there and then he would open himself up to whatever spirit wants to give. You know, people went there with problems. You know, this and this is happening in my life, that and that's not happening in my life. How do I change this? And he would sit there and then spirits would come and channel through him and have conversations with people. Funny thing about Edgar Cayce had one of the most horrible lives that you can think of. He was a very popular man because everybody wanted to see him. But if you go and read up on all the problems that he had in his life, you can see clearly that his life was cursed, fraught. I mean, he had so much supernatural rubbish messing with him, it wasn't even funny. Yet he was addicted to what happened through him. He would still allow all these things to come through him and communicate with people, even though his life was falling apart. And he died a lonely, sad, and very sick man. Because God wasn't involved in anything that he did. Examples of that is astrology, automatic writing, crystal balls, tarot cards, horoscopes, iridology. For those that don't know, they look into your eye and they tell you exactly what's wrong with you. Mediums, seances, Ouija boards, playing book and key. When I was younger, by the grace of God, I never got involved. But I know in my circles, there was youngsters that used to play book and key. They would take a book, my understanding was, and then they would ask questions, and then based on the key would actually move inside of the book, and it would give answers yes or no. So you would keep asking questions. You would, am I going to get married one day? And then the key would turn somewhere, and they'd say, oh, yeah, you're going to get married. Am I going to be happy? Oh, yeah, you're going to be happy. Am I going to have lots of drama and problems? Yeah. Okay, how can I be happy and I'm going to have problems? Well, that's how the devil works. It's like, try and figure it out. We must also steer clear of any books or teachings pertaining to these things. A number of years ago, I got a phone call one morning very, very early from a pastor not too far from here. One of the young people in his church was manifesting violently, and she was sitting on her bed, and there was some spirit speaking through her. The mom and dad nearly went, you know, it's like, what the hell is going on with my daughter? And the spirit spoke with a male voice. So they knew that this was not their daughter. And this thing was laughing at them, and it was actually just put the whole house in pandemonium. I went out there, and to make a long story short, this young lady, some of the people at her work were very involved in fortune telling and, you know, the stars, astrology, you know, star signs, the whole toot. And they began to talk to her. She developed an interest in it. And then she went and she bought a whole bunch of books to learn more. And she began to study these things. And you know, interestingly enough, her parents said that her personality began to change from the time that she got involved with that. She became more aggressive, she became more angry, and she became more controlling. Where does the control come from? The spirit of witchcraft that is involved, okay? And it came to a point where this began to happen. She and her sister shared a room. And the sister woke up with the other sister sitting on the bed in this weird position, speaking in a language that she's never heard before. And when she tried to talk to her, this thing actually communicated certain things to the sister that freaked her mind. She ran out, fetched the parents. The parents came in there and this thing was having a conversation with them. And it actually told them that it was some kind of a demonic angel, blah, 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 what, what. And it's not leaving nowhere. It's taking over the house. I'm here to stay. That's when you phone the pastor very quickly. I have big problems. What can we do? And you know what? We had to burn all those books. We had to break. She actually had a crystal ball already. She had all sorts of paraphernalia. She had all the tarot cards. She was busy reading people's tarot cards, etc., etc. And am I on zero? Hey, I'm out of petrol. So I think we're going to just... I'll finish the story and then next week we'll continue. Here's the thing. When I spoke to this girl, it took me a while to get the demon to go down so I could speak to the girl, but eventually it did. And when I spoke to her, and this is the problem that we often have, she'd already become hooked. Because now everybody wanted her to give them their fortunes and this and that, and she liked the attention that she was getting. And a part of her didn't want to give that up. She liked being the center of attention, because now the people at work had figured out that she seems to be sort of accurate and that she seems to know a lot of things about them. Why did she know things about them? Because that spirit that sat and laughed at everybody was inside of her and it was working through her. It's sometimes scary how accurate these things can communicate what's going on in your life right now. Because the spirit world knows exactly what's going on in your life right now. And how they can tell you that when you were this age, this happened. And when you were that age, that happened. They were there. They probably caused the problem in the first place. So it's not like they have to wonder. They know. They know. And so now, I had to bring her to a place that I said to her, you see what's happened to you here today. Do you think that's normal? No. Well, it's happening because you're messing with all of this stuff. Ah, but it can't all be bad because I help people. This is what a lot of people, I help people. No, you're not helping them. You're cursing them. Look at it from God's words point of view. How can you be helping people if you take people down a path that the word of God says will curse them? You're not helping them. This is what you got to understand. You are taking them down a path of destruction and you need to acknowledge that. And if you don't deal with this, you're going to have a lot of problems in your life. Because this thing that manifested through you today came to steal and to kill and to destroy. And even though it wants to do that to the people that you so-called prophesy over, it's mainly going to do it in your own life. Eventually it got to a place where she agreed. Who wants to guess what happened when we wanted to burn the stuff? Without calling it back, it was back and it wanted to fight. It wasn't open to us burning anything. But we had to. By the grace of God, eventually the spirit got dealt with. All the stuff got burnt. I got her to renounce it. And I can't really say what happened in her life further because I lost contact with the family at some point in time. I trust that she's still on the right path. I know that I know that I know. Her sister wanted to get involved. She told me straight after what she saw there, she wants nothing to do with this stuff. Sometimes people have to see to learn. Anyway, why are we talking about this stuff? Because even though we are sitting in church, none of you were born Christians, and a lot of you, or some of you, might have been down this path before. And it opened you up to a lot of rubbish that you might not know, but that your life is manifesting. All of these things come with a resulting curse. And those curses need to be dealt with. God is still the deliverer. But until you don't understand the problem, you also can't deal with the problem. And I want to say something, just this is my final word on it. A lot of people have this thing that when you go through deliverance, somebody stands in front of you and says, I command all demons to leave now, boom. 9 times out of 10, nothing happens. Because you got to be specific. If a door opened through something, the something needs to be confessed. The something needs to be renounced. Whatever you gained through that must be laid down. You can't be general. When they want to do heart surgery, they don't just cut you open from top to bottom and like fiddle around in there. Like they go to the root of the problem. Do you understand? It's the same when you deal with the stuff. You got to go to the root of the problem. And that's where sometimes people need help. Because people don't always understand what I got involved with and how it affected my life. Did anybody learn something today? Give the Lord a big hand.